Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is February 15th, 2023, or it is the 25th day of Adar, 2026. We will start our first service today with a song and then with a...
I am thankful, yet heard God's voice, and it told of love to me. And I long to rise in the answer faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me again in the blessed young, to the cross with thou hast died. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign. Consecrate me now to the service young, for the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up for the steadfast hope, and I will be lost in thine. Draw me near, blessed young, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign. Oh, the pure delight of the single love, that before that throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, Maria, our commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, blessed young, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me near, blessed young, to cross with thy sky. Draw me near, blessed young, to thy precious
inside. Taken from Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, we're on chapter 11 by MLS and Andreessen. And the title to the sermon is Thy Savior and Thy Redeemer. Okay, we're going to Thy Savior and Thy Redeemer. Better yet, the name of our sermon today is Zion led from utter defeat unto triumph victory. Once again, this is February 15th, 2023. Or as the 25th day of Adar 2026, we're going to continue our study now from Isaiah the Gospel Prophet. We're on chapter 11, and it's called The Lesson Scripture is taken from Isaiah 51. 17-23, Isaiah 52:1-12. It says, Jerusalem is told to rouse herself and stand up. She has drunk the cup of the Yahshua's fury to the dregs. Among her sons there are none to help her, nor any among the many. She has brought up desolation and destruction for everywhere, and there is none to comfort. for the sons have fainted, and the lion and are lying in the streets like an antelope caught in a net. They also have drunk of the cup of the Yahshua's fury. Verses 17 to 20. Hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, though not with the wine. For the Yahshua has taken away the cup of the trembling. Thou shalt drink it no more again. I will now give it unto them that afflict thee, that have humbled thee in the dust and walked over thee. Verses 21 to 23. Isaiah 52, verse 1 through 6. For the Yahshua redeems and saves his people. Zion is told to awake and put on her beautiful garment and her strength. Henceforth, no uncircumcised or unclean shall come into her. Let her shake off the dust and loose the hands that bind her. She has sold herself for nothing and shall be redeemed without money. Verses 1 to 3. For the Yahshua's people at one time went down into Egypt. For the Assyrians also oppressed them without cause. And now the Babylonians have taken them and rule over them. And the Yahshua's name is blasphemed. For the Yahshua will reveal himself that he is the Redeemer, Savior of Israel, and that he is all that the name signifies. Verses 4 to 6. Now we go to verses 7 to 12. For the gospel to the whole world. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring of the good tidings of the peace and salvation, that proclaim thy Yahshua reigneth. And this is what we teach the world. It says in Luke 1:32-33 that he sits upon the throne of his earthly father David. Yahshua does. And he reigns until he puts all enemies under his footstool. For the watchmen shall sing together and see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. And we're that Zion. We're the leaders of it. House of David. Tribe of Judah. Lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 is a prophecy on that. Isaiah 9:6-8 is a prophecy on that. Micah 4 and Isaiah 2 are the prophecies on that. It says, for the watchmen shall sing together and see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Verses 7 to 8. How it says, Zion led from utter defeat and to triumph victory. Let the waste places rejoice and sing together, for the Yahshua hath comforted and redeemed his people. You see that comforted and redeemed? That redeemed is a past tense adverb, meaning that there is a people that he has redeemed all the way from Adam and Eve, clear on down until the 12th periodic era that we're in right now. When Yahshua comes and starts to harvest, by his blood he resurrects blood of the everlasting covenant, the people of all ages that ought to be, that has been saved, been redeemed by His blood, He's going to bring them all. Okay. He has made bare His holy arm, and the whole world shall see His salvation, that all that are unclean depart. Those that bear the vessels of the Yahshua must be clean. They shall not go out hastily, for the Yahshua shall go before them, and He also shall be their reward. Verses 9 to 12. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, rather, rouse thee. Not the same word as in the verse 9. For the cup of His fury, the dregs of Jerusalem, did drink the dregs of the Yahweh's wrath, of the Yahshua's wrath, in the destruction of the city by the Nebuchadnezzar. Not only were the houses burned and the wall broken down, really the famine prevailed in the city, for the king was captured, his sons were killed before his eyes, and then his own eyes were put out. For the palace was burned, and last of all, the temple was destroyed, and the people were carried into captivity. 2 Kings 25:3-11. Jerusalem did indeed drink of the dregs of the Yahshua's wrath. Verse 18. None to guide her. Jerusalem had rejected the prophets sent unto her. The last one, Jeremiah, she mistreated, and then took him into Egypt. Jeremiah 43:5-7. Now there was none left, and Yahshua had no mouthpiece through which to communicate His will unto them. Verse 19, for the two things, these two things are a desolation caused by the famine and destruction caused by the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Yahweh would have comforted and helped His people, or the Yahshua, the Son, would have comforted and helped His people, as evidenced in the 42nd chapter of the Jeremiah. But they would not hear when the Yahshua sent a message unto them through the prophet. They answered, thou speakest falsely. Jeremiah 43:2. Yahweh could then do no more for the Yahshua, the Son. He could do no more. Verse 20. For thy sons have fainted, for the people were all exhausted. A wall of bull and an ass, rather an antelope, swift, strong, and handsome, but hunted down into the net, and now exhausted with the fruitless attempts to escape. Verse 22, for the Yahshua, and thy Yahshua that pleadeth the cause of His people, the it says the Son Yahshua, Isaiah 52:1, awake, awake, for the same words as in Isaiah 51:9, are the same words that are in Isaiah 51:9, for the words there addressed unto the Yahshua are here addressed unto the church. the house of Israel, for the strength is there, for the garments are there, that put them on, the beautiful garments of the Asherah's righteousness. But the thing is, though, the advent of the church are not the church that is to put these on. They're the fourth movement church. There's five movements altogether for Israel. Since coming out of Egypt by Moses, he had the first movement. Adventists had the fourth movement, 1844 to 2003, and now their movement is over. Yeah, their movement's been over for 20 years. Now we're the fifth movement, House of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver. As Yahshua is sitting on the throne of David, directing this movement, Yahshua is personally directing this movement. For the strength is there, the garments are there, put them on. That's what Isaiah, the gospel prophet, here, M.L. Andrews, in 1928, when he wrote this book. He was a general conference, high up in the general conference ministerial, and he wrote this book, and he's telling the Seventh-day Adventist church, awake, awake, put these garments on. But they never did. They never did. M.L. Andrews, he was part of the general conference that was run by Jesuits. So even though he was a sincere Adventist minister, and he was on Ellen G. White's side, but nevertheless, he used that ARV Bible. He didn't use the King James that only that Yahweh approved of. So I'm saying M.L. Andrews ended up on the enemy side and didn't know it. When he was a member of the General Conference, Seventh-day Adventist, carrying out their ministry, helping them to carry out their ministry. For the words in the verse evidently go beyond any local or restricted meaning. When the statement is made that no uncircumcised or unclean shall henceforth come into the city, it cannot have reference unto Jerusalem. It must have an application for the time when the Yahshua will have a pure church that shall henceforth never know a defilement. Verse 2, shake thyself, loose thyself. Zion has not only wallowed in the dust, but has also been bound about the neck, captives in the ancient time, were often fashioned together by the chains passed around the neck. Under this custom reference is here made, verse 3, for the redeemed without money, this does not mean that the redemption costs nothing. On the contrary, the price paid was so enormous that no comparison with money can be made. Verse 4. There were three captives. The first in Egypt, Exodus 1:13-14. The second in Assyria, with the Tiglath-Pileser, 13:15-29. Sargon, 2 Kings 17:6. Sennacherib, 2 Kings of 18:13. For the third is the Babylonian captivity referred to And the next verse, Isaiah 52:5, verse 5. What have I here? Paraphrasing freely. What had I better do? Now that my people are taken into Babylon, for the Yahweh still has a care for his people. For the Babylonians are oppressing them, making them to howl, and Yahweh's name is blasphemed. Verse 6. Therefore, because of the howling and blaspheming, my people shall know my name. For the Yahweh never go to the Father that will reveal himself as the great I am. I am the powerful Almighty, Yahweh. I add to the powerful Almighty. I add the Almighty, Yahweh. Verse 7. For the good tidings, the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant that's brought out there in Hebrews chapter 10, thy Yahshua reigneth. Rather, thy Yahshua has become the king of this world. He's taken his position on the throne of David. There in Luke 1:32-33, prophecy of Isaiah 9:68. This has reference unto the time when the seventh angel shall proclaim that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Yahshua, of our Yahweh the Father, and of his Son Yahshua. Revelation 11:15. Then it will be true that the Yahshua omnipotent reigneth. Revelation 19:6. Verse 8. Watchmen, Yahweh, these are Yahweh's ministers, Yahshua's ministers, with the voice together, and the unison, for they shall see eye to eye, while the original Hebrew phrase may not have the same meaning of the harmony and unity that it bears in the English. They can hardly have any other sense here than that of the harmony agreement. Verse 10. Made bear his holy arm. All nations shall see this. And when Yahshua has finished his work, there will be no doubt in the mind of any as unto who has done it. For Yahshua has bared his arm in the sight of the nation. For the work will not be finished in a corner. Verse 1, depart ye, this is the call out of the Babylon, and to touch no unclean thing. Be ye clean. It was the work of the priest to bear the vessel. Numbers 4:15. Ezra 8:24-28. Hence, this is a call for a clean ministry, for the ministering unto a clean people. Verse 12. Not go out with haste, that is, unprepared. If we follow on to know the Yahshua, we shall be taught from time to time just what to do. For the lesson is, be ready before you, be your reward, for the Yahshua being both before and after his people, they are safe. Lessons for today. That's our next subtitle. Isaiah 51:17. For the picture is one of the horrible degradation. It is a true picture, however, of one who has been left of the Yeshua and given over for the reaping of the fruit of his own doing. In that picture, everyone, man or woman, may see himself as he will be when the Yahweh finally lets him have his own way. It should cause all to pause. Thus, taking the first step may lead for the taking of the last step. Verse 18. None to guide her, none that taketh her by the hand. And the prosperity friends are many. When we are reduced to low levels, pretended friends depart. Verse 19. Who shall be sorry for the punishment was well deserved? It is thus in most, if not in all cases, we are generally treated better than we deserve, though we do not always think so. Verse 20. Wild bull and a net. No animal would run into a net if it saw and realized the danger. But the net is ingeniously hidden, and the animal is caught before it is fully aware of his situation. Men are caught the same way. They think they are in no danger. They can take care of themselves. They have their eyes open. But before they know it, they are caught. A net is not made of the honey steel bars. Men look at it, thinking they can easily break those feeble threads of if they should get caught. Really, when they are in the meshes, they find they're virtually a sap. How many a young man has said that he was able to quit any time, only to find himself unable to do so when he came to realize his need. Verse 22. For the Yahweh that pleadeth the cause of his people, no man can help. Cures cannot be depended on. Only one can help. He is the Yahshua. Verse 23. Bow down that we may go over. Whatever it is that afflicts us, wherever sin or habit has caused us to be slaves to it, there is victory. We need not let it keep us in the gutter and walk over us. For the deliverance is coming. Isaiah 51. Put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garments. For the Yahweh wants us to do what we can. We cannot provide the strength. We do not have it. But we can put it on. We cannot provide the beautiful garments. Yahweh will do that too. that we can put them on. For the Yahweh will provide strength for any need if we will but put it on. That is our part. For the unclean, Yahweh does not want any unclean among his people, nor any that are uncircumcised in the heart. Verse 2, shake thyself, loose thyself, get rid of every sin, gain the victory over every besetment, break every chain that binds. Do that now, today. Verse 3, sold yourselves for naught. It is strange what some will choose instead of heaven. Filthy, unclean habits and debasing passion, a greedy disposition, an ungovernable temper, and a backbiting tongue. And for such men will sell eternal life. Verse 5. My name continually every day is blasphemed. Taking the Yahshua's name in vain is a useless and disgusting habit that all learn for the avoiding of the doubtful expressions of all kinds. Nor is blaspheming the name of the Yahweh confined unto the spoken words. He who professes to be a child of the Yahweh but knowingly continues in sin, wrongly representing Yahweh's love and righteousness unto the world, is guilty of the worst form of blasphemy. Verse 7. Whatever the means of the spreading of the good news, the gospel, it is a beautiful work. Let the minister, the Bible worker, the editor, the doctor, the nurse, the teacher, the co-porter, the institutional workers, that all who have any part in the publishing of the good tidings rejoice in their work and take courage. And let all who help support this army of workers who pray for them and stand by them rejoice in the work being done. Verse 8. What a glorious time when all shall be as one in love and harmony. No discordant note shall be heard. It is almost too good to be true. And if it is to be true, and we are to be among that company, we may have to step rapidly. Verse 10, made bare his holy arm, symbolic of the taking hold of the task wholeheartedly. Let's do that again. Taking hold of the task wholeheartedly for the rolling up the sleeves means going to work. That is what some need to do in both a literal and a spiritual sense. When the Yahweh is making bare, when the Yahshua, the Son, is making bare his holy arm, he would be pleased if we would take hold with a will also. Verse 2. Touch no unclean thing, for the Yahshua wants his people to leave unclean things alone, whether it be in eating, in reading, in thoughts, in conversation, or in love. Verse 12. Not go out with haste. It is hard to conceive of a child of the Yahshua being in haste. He had much to do, but he so planned his work that there was time for every needful task. So might we, for the Yahweh never requires anyone to do that for which there is no time. For it may be that we have not planned our work as so as to make first things first. There never should be any reason for sin. I have no time to do that. If it is a task worthy of being done, and that you should do. That's the end of chapter 11. Okay, chapter 12. The Lamb of the Yahweh is the title for this chapter. Isaiah 52, 13 to 15, and Isaiah 53, 1 to 5. With this lesson begins the last of the four great servant sections. Even critics admit that the picture presented in these chapters is a remarkable anticipation of the sufferings of the Yahshua and the glory that should follow. For the believer, no proof is needed of the genuineness of the prophecy. Remove the 53rd chapter of the Isaiah from the Bible, and an irreparable loss would be sustained. Isaiah 52, 13 to 15. The servant exalted and marred. For the servant shall deal wisely and prosper. He shall be highly exalted, very highly indeed. When men shall see him, they shall be astonished and amazed. For his countenance is so cruelly marred, and his form so unlike that of the sons of men, he shall startle many nations, and chains shall reverently keep silent. For they shall see that which they had not been told, and they shall consider that which they had not heard. Isaiah 53, 1 to 5. For our sakes, who could have believed that which we have heard? Whoever has heard such a revelation of the Yahshua's power? For he grew up as a tender plant and as a shoot from the dry soil. He had no beauty of the countenance or form, so that we should be attracted unto him. Men despised and rejected him. He knew the meaning of pain and sickness. He shunned him. He was despised and held of no account. Yet it was our sickness that he bore, our pains that he carried. But we thought him suffering from a stroke at the Yahweh's own hand. But he was wounded because of our transgressions and crushed because of our iniquities. He was chastised that we might have peace, and the blows that fell on him brought us healing. Notes. When we last considered the servant in the third of the four servant sections, he was presented unto us as suffering, giving his back unto the smiters, while men spit upon him and ill-treated him. Isaiah 50, verse 6. His faith was steadfast, but we were not told of the outcome of the struggle. Would the Yahweh interfere, the Father? Would the servant die? Would men change their mind? Or what would happen? We left the servant in the midst of his suffering, not knowing what the end would be. For the story is now continued in the 52nd chapter and carried unto its conclusion in the 53rd. These 15 verses contain more suffering, more love, more hope, deeper insight into the mysteries of the plan of salvation, clearer vistas of the whole plan of the Yahshua. And he said, he's the way and the truth and the life. So his way is in the sanctuary, Psalm 77:13. And he has the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant and more profound revelations of the Yahweh's character. Well, actually, it was the Yahweh that created his son, Yahshua, and they met together to decide on a plan of salvation for the human race if it should fall into sin, those that they were about to create here on earth. And that was through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, his son, that all could be redeemed, whoever falls into sin. He who unmoved can read these verses. And he'd pray Yahweh Mighty for a clearer vision and deeper appreciation, as well as an insight into his own spiritual condition. Isaiah 52:13-15. Isaiah 52:13-15. My servant shall deal prudently, rather shall prosper, as in Jeremiah 23:5. For the primary idea means to deal wisely or prudently, but it includes more than that. It means having insight, being able to see events and their bearing on the future, and so to conduct oneself that in the end success will come. It is expressed in the words we use when we see a person noted for his foresighted wisdom, doing something the full meaning of which we do not comprehend. He knows what he is about. Consider now the use of this word in the connection with the Yahshua. In the chapter 50, we find Yahshua suffering. We are not told why he has not sinned, yet he patiently and willingly suffers. He says Yahweh will help him, but we are left in the suspense whether the Yahweh does actually help him, for the chapter leaves us in a deep mystery, both as to the reason for the suffering and the outcome. In this session, the mystery is solved. It is not for himself that he is suffering. There is another purpose, for there are the larger interests at stake. When men understand their real situation, they will be astonished. Nations will be startled. Kings will do him a reverence. He will be exalted and extolled. It will seem such an unheard of thing that one willingly suffers and dies for another that men can hardly believe the report. It is the Yahweh speaking. My servant shall deal prudently. He knows what he is about. For the suffering, you see, is part of the plan to snare man. He is not suffering for himself, but for others. I am standing right by him. We know what we are doing. He shall be exalted when the purpose of the suffering is known, and when the work is accomplished. It was when the Yahshua became obedient unto death that the Yahweh highly exalted him. Philippians 2:8-9. Verse 14, many were astonished. For the word astonished expresses the blank amazement mingled with the horror excited in the minds of the beholders by the spectacle of the servant's unparalleled suffering. For this astonishment was not merely because a man suffered. Many men had suffered before and thousands had been crucified. But the astonishment was caused by the knowledge of the stupendous fact that this suffering was part of a world plan for the saving man, that an innocent one was suffering for the guilty, that the Yahweh is the Father, that the Yeshua was suffering, or no, that the Yahweh the Father was suffering, and that through this suffering, healing and salvation would come unto mankind. For his visage was so marred, for the physical pain was so intense that the Yeshua's countenance became almost unrecognizable, and yet the bodily suffering was as nothing compared unto the spiritual agony, verse 15, sprinkle rather than the startle. This verse also rests the astonishment of the nations and kings when they shall learn the truth of the sacrifice of Yahshua, when they shall see what they... So it says, let's continue. It says, verse 15 says, he's going to sprinkle many nations. So it says, rather startled, the verse also registers the astonishment of the nations and kings when they shall learn the truth of the sacrifice of Yahshua, when they shall see what they were never told, a sight unheard of, Moffat's translation, Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed? For the implication of the question is that a few have believed. It is still time to do today. It is still true today that few believe. Unto whom is the arm of the Yahshua revealed? For the statement might be paraphrased. Who can see the plan and purpose of the Yahshua and the suffering of the purpose of the Yahweh the Father and the suffering of his Son the servant? In this case, it is a metaphor for the Yahshua's operation in history. Verse 2, tender plant, see Luke 2:40-52. If the Yahweh had not shielded his Son Yahshua as a tender plant, Herod would have killed him. Matthew 2:12-18. A root out of the dry ground. First a tender plant, now a root. So Yahshua grew as in the Luke 2:52. Dry ground, the Jewish nation. No form or comeliness. Probably a reference not to the physical appearance of Yahshua, but for the fact that he came with no outward display or kingly splendor. Comeliness should be translated majesty. Comeliness is in the King James. They're saying it should be translated to majesty there in the ARV. No beauty. There must be nothing in the Yahshua for the attracting men because of his physical beauty. While we cannot conceive of the Yahshua with anything but a winning personality, it must be the spiritual qualities rather than the physical that are the attraction. We know indeed that the law required the sacrifice to be without blemish, so we may draw the conclusion that the Yahshua likewise was physically perfect. Leviticus 1:3, 6:6. We are told that even with the most trying circumstances, Yahshua was dignified and composed, for his form was perfect, for he appeared more like a king than any of the rulers. His eye was mild, clear, and undaunted, his forehead broad and high. Every feature was strongly marked with the benevolence and noble principle. His patience and forbearance were so unlike man that many trembled. Even Herod and the pilot were greatly troubled at his noble Yahweh like Darren, early writings, page 172. Verse 3. A man of the sorrows and acquainted with the grief. Sorrow may also be translated pain, and is used specifically of the pains which accompany a wound or disease. But the rendering of our version may well stand, since there are many places where the word used certainly means sorrow and nothing else, for the same word is used in the beautiful wording in the Lamentations 1:12. Is it nothing unto you, all you that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow? For the grief, Hebrew sickness, in the margin, it says, we hid as it were our faces from him. Literally, there was as it were a hiding of the face from him. This may have reference for the hiding of the Yeshua's face, Yahweh's face, the Father, at the cross where his son was crucified. For it may also refer unto the altogether too common occurrence of men being ashamed of Yeshua. Verse 4. For the vicarious suffering of Yeshua is here plainly brought to view. It was not his sorrows or griefs that he carried, but ours. For the Jews believed, as many do now, that every affliction is a result of some wrongdoing. Hence, a great sufferer must be a great sinner. It was to prevent the Jews from rejecting Yeshua because of his suffering that this part of Isaiah was written. Had the Jews read their own book and believed it, they would have known that one must come who was suffering not for himself, but for others. And that the very reason they considered him accursed was part of Yahweh's plan for their salvation. Galatians 3:13. See also the desire of ages 4:70-71. Verse 5. Wounded by the thorns, the nails, the spear, but wounded more by his mother's lack of the understanding, their unsympathetic attitude, their failure for the appropriating of the blessing he came to bestow. Bruised or crushed, a stronger expression can hardly be found for the denoting of the crushing weight he carried and the extremity of the sufferer's affliction. For the chastisement of our peace, paraphrasing, the chastisement which brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed. Stripes are stripes. Wounds, really the wails that are raised because of the flogging, besides the smiting with the rods, Matthew 26:67, margin, and with the reed, Matthew 27:30, Yahshua was scourged, Matthew 27:26. It is this scourging that would leave the stripe wound. Lesson for today. It's on the subtitle, Isaiah 52:13. Deal prudently. To be prudent is to be habitually careful, to avoid errors, to exercise sound judgment and foresight, judicious, to be characterized by the practical wisdom, our discretion and extravagance. For Yahshua dealt prudently. He said, we should do the same. Avoid speculation. Shun debt because of the installment. Beware of the installment buying and the association with others. Speak wisely or not at all. Shun evil companions. avoid joint security. And the religious matters, be careful to be neither too forward nor too backwards in the expression of an opinion. Shun extreme position. Keep pace with the Yahweh and man. Verse 14. His visage was so marred. Do not judge by outward appearance. Do not judge men great sinners because they may be great sufferers. Isaiah 53:2. For no beauty, for the cathedrals do not make churches, nor houses homes, nor outward beauty inward worth. For the temple Solomon built was the most beautiful structure on the earth. That did not make Solomon a better man or help the Jews in their relation unto the Yeshua. Rather, they came for the worshiping in the temple instead of the Yahweh of the temple. So Yahweh destroyed the temple. Yahweh could have sent his son into this world and dazzle man by the splendor of his kingdom. Had he done so, doubtless many would have accepted him who now rejected him. But the basis of their acceptance would be wrong, for the Yahweh wants men to accept him, not because of what he has, but because of what he is. Outward splendor would have violated Yahweh's plan, for this principle is worth remembering. In the building the houses of the worship or any institution, and it applies unto many other phases of the life. Verse 3 and 4. Sorrows, griefs, or sicknesses. While sicknesses is often a result of the sin, not all sickness is directly caused by sin. For the disciples once asked Yahshua, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Yahshua answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of the Yahweh should be made manifest in him. John 9:1-3. When the Lazarus was sick and Yahshua heard of it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the Yahweh, that the son of the Yahweh might be glorified thereby. John 11:4. We do not suppose that Yahshua meant to say that the blind man or his parents had never sinned, but that this affliction had not come unto them because of any specific evil they had done. For the Yahshua was trying to counteract the idea of the Jews who believed that when people are afflicted, they must necessarily have sinned. According to these texts, some are sick that the works of the Yahweh should be made manifest. Others are sick for the glory of the Yahweh. Paul's thorn in the flesh may be an illustration of the latter kind. If when we are sick, we have searched our hearts for any hidden and unconfessed sin, and have found none, we need not continually distress ourselves over the outcome, for Yahweh knows best. It may be that the works of Yahweh should be made manifest in the hidden, for the Yahshua knows best. This is the Son. It may be that the works of the Yahshua should be made manifest in the hidden, for the Yahshua will do great things for us if he is asked. Some are afflicted for the consolation and salvation of others, 2 Corinthians 1:6. This should be a great comfort unto many who wonder why the Yahshua sends certain afflictions unto them. Remember, dear one, there may be some poor struggling soul going through the deep waters envy. Yes, Yahweh is preparing you for the help by the calling you to go through the affliction that will make you more understanding and sympathetic. So do not despair. Yahweh is giving you certain experiences that will make you a better worker, a better Christian. We hid our faces in shame, ashamed of Yahshua, blasphemous conduct. Even the world will honor the one who is not ashamed of his faith. As the man is blessed who honors his father and mother, so the man is cursed who dishonors them or is ashamed of them. We despise one who is ashamed of his mother, though she may be plainly dressed. And that is that any worse than to be ashamed of Yahshua? Yahshua, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine through the endless day, ashamed of the Yahshua, sinner far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine for this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Yahshua, just as soon midnight be ashamed of the moon. Midnight with my soul tell he, bright morning star, bade darkness flee. That's the end of our study of chapter 12, and that's the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, it's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I'm going to have to cross Jordan alone. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I will have to cross Jordan alone. I will have to cross Jordan alone. That's what God for my sins did atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I will have to cross Jordan alone. Oftentimes I'm forsaken and weary and sad, for it seems that my friends have all gone. There is one thought that cheers me and makes my heart glad. I will have to cross Jordan alone. I will have to cross Jordan alone. Just for God for my sins dear atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I will have to cross Jordan alone. When the billows of sorrow and trouble may sweep, that's what the Savior will care for His own. At the end of the journey, my soul He will keep. I will have to cross Jordan alone. I will have to cross Jordan alone. Just what God for my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I will have to cross Jordan alone.